We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Inside information on your teams, honest opinion, and the biggest names in sports. It's time, Las Vegas, for the Playmakers.
It is a Thursday, a pre-kind of pseudo-holiday weekend show with the Playmakers. I'm Paul, she is Lindsay.
Hello.
And, yeah, so... 3-day weekend for some of you, 3-day weekend for us.
Mm-hmm.
So
huge
excited.
Fan of that.
Excited about that. Going to take a little breather. So we're just going to unload today. Full barrels.
All of the barrels.
That's right. We are unloading the quivers.
This is an unloading zone. Do not park here.
Right. We're pulling all the pins. This is the
all
day.
The pins? Don't do that. The bones won't set.
Just unloading. Just
out.
Loading everything. Just full barrel, you know, cannons.
All
R
the cannons.
Pirates. You know, that kind of stuff.
Avast ye,
yes,
pirates.
Right, avast ye.
Avast, aha!
Something along those lines.
Something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, there's golf today. Happy about that. They're playing in Michigan. Looks like a beautiful day, so they won't have any more rainouts, hopefully.
Gorgeous.
And auto racing this weekend, and you're...
That's about it.
Fireworks.
Yeah, fireworks.
In some cases.
In some places.
Yeah, and not all cases, and not all places, but... You know, it might be another one of those Oh, by the way, the Vegas Golden Knights lost last night.
What do you mean? They lost.
They lost.
They lost what?
There was a virtual game last night.
Hosted
by the Colorado Avalanche. The final broadcast for the Avs before the restart of play, they played the Vegas Golden Knights.
I'm going to have to come clean. I missed it, so I'm not going to be able to fully dive into that.
It was a 5-2 loss for the Knights.
God.
They got goals from Noshek and William Karlsson.
Sounds about right.
Karlsson's goal came on it was kind of a really weird lineup. He was with like Reeves and Alec Martinez.
Interesting. So you weren't able to neutralize the MacKinnon effect.
No, not so much.
Gabe was running loose.
They tied it up at two goals apiece.
Okay.
And then
it all fell apart.
The Avs scored three goals.
Who was in goal?
It was Fleury. Fleury gave up.
We didn't even pull him. That was the weirdest thing. We gotta expect more out of Marc-Andre Fleury.
We gotta
end things on a good note here.
You know what? It's one of the first, and I admit it freely that I have not been watching the simulated sports with the calls.
Yes,
I'm not
that
kind
is
of,
missed stars.
Right, I'm not
mm-hmm.
kind of you know that kind of geeky for watching that kind of stuff.
You've
but
better
it was,
things to do.
It was interesting watching the plays and how the announcers were trying to do the announcing because it was very clear that they're, you know, there's not a lot of notes. They're just kind of relying on kind of institutional knowledge.
Yeah.
More than anything else.
Yeah. But the movements aren't exactly the same. They're not as natural on the virtual game than they are or when it's being played in front of you.
Yeah, it was a lot of sloppy play in between the blue lines. And then
Fleury, just everything opened up.
When the Golden Knights, it's seriously, I mean, I watched maybe 15 minutes of it. I just skimmed through it. But I watched like the first 2 minutes and the Knights were just hit, just slap shots, like total selfish hockey. The first 2 minutes of the thing. It's like, it's
just get the blue line clap
yeah,
bomb away.
It was
okay.
Like Pacioretty from like,
I mean,
no business.
If it works for Brian Ralston, it can work for them.
Oh, it was insane. So the Knights did lose last night virtually 5-2 to the Avs.
Let's get our lighters up, guys.
It was.
You want those good vibes heading into the round robin round?
It was just. Yeah, I get it. I mean, I get Sports Sim. You know, our company does it too. Radio.com Sports does Sports Sim for football. It was a little tough.
You watched 15 minutes. That's 14 minutes longer than I probably would have watched it. So I give you kudos.
But I was...
You're the hockey expert today, then.
I was surprised by the selfish hockey I was.
Yeah. They tell the guys to hold the rope, not just for themselves, but for their teammates
right.
as well.
Like, no assist. Literally, it was like the first goal. It was like, no assist. It was just like one, you know.
Are any helpers out there? Nope. Just one guy taking on the world coast to coast, baby.
But yeah, Fleury looked terrible last night virtually. Well,
good thing he has a few weeks to
shooting
grease the wheels.
Work himself out a little
bit.
So the AI was not kind to the Golden Knights. But hopefully the restart will be. And that's where we start our five biggest stories of the afternoon.
It's your daily checkdown, powered by Radio.com Sports. Number one.
Yeah, I watched it. Yeah.
I'm proud of you.
I watched it.
I'm proud of you.
Some of
you. You indulged. That's good.
I did. So we're still trying to figure out if there's a deal that's going to be in place. It could be finalized today is what we're being told in terms of the return to play, because when it comes to the National Hockey League, they had to deal with some labor issues as well beyond the scheduling. Mm-hmm. But the reports continue to be that they're going to have an extension to the collective bargaining agreement and deal with some critical dates, of course. Have some rules as they move into this new normal, so to speak.
Olympic participation.
Yep. The hubs would be in Toronto and Edmonton, and now that the Stanley Cup Finals would be held in Edmonton based on how they've dealt with the COVID-19.
Yeah, and it's a much easier, controllable environment compared to Toronto, even though that technically hasn't been finalized yet. But, you know, they're trying to get all of these things done. It makes sense why you're renegotiating the CBA, because the money needs to be decided, and the forecast has changed quite a bit in the last few months. So hopefully we get that today. I'm not going to hold my breath, because otherwise I'm going to run out of air.
Right.
But we, sometime, I feel like this finalization process will just happen.
We just want to see some schedules at this point, more than anything else. More than anything else, just as fans, to kind of start plotting out what the next couple of weeks are. I mean, we're talking 3 weeks.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, they're all getting back to their cities and stuff anyways, and they have to go through training camp before they migrate to the hub locations. But still, it's not that far away.
It's very true.
It's very close.
Talking about the end of the month here.
Yes.
So that's where we are with the NHL deal. Final pieces could come today, and we could be settled by tomorrow. All right.
Number two.
Hopefully this isn't the first of many dominoes that falls. We've seen sports get canceled in many places in terms of teams and schedules getting called off at a lot of schools. Well, we have our first Mountain West Conference school cutting sports due to the pandemic and budgetary issues. This is unfortunate.
Sucks.
And you all know that UNLV and UNR and other schools like Boise State play in the Mountain West.
Yep.
And hopefully this isn't the one of many dominoes, but this is a tough one to swallow because it is Boise State. Boise State gets the biggest chunk of Mountain West money when it comes to the television deals.
Exactly.
And if Boise State has to cut sports,
that doesn't spell a lot of goodness for the rest of us, does it?
I'm just like, just look, you know, hopefully they've got some donors and some sponsors. What happened this morning, Boise State announcing it has cut baseball, which was already behind the eight ball as it was, along with women's swimming and diving. The baseball season had gone away for 3 years and had just come back.
Right. And why do they cut one team along with the other? Why do they have to do that?
This is for Title IX.
For Title IX, to make sure that you're matching up the number of scholarships and stuff. And
yep.
that sucks, because anybody that's losing their program, that's a terrible situation in general. But yeah, there's a level of concern there, Paulito. Absolutely.
For sure, because they have the revenue stream.
Exactly.
You're talking about, they get a ton of money when it comes to broadcast
fees. Blue turf.
Right.
It sells.
They get the special. They get the little specialness for being in the Mountain West, mm-hmm. and they're cutting $3 million from the overall budget there. That's a tough pill to swallow. Now, for their baseball team, they just come back. They played 14 games. Hopefully, all the kids get to keep the uniforms. They get to stay on scholarship, obviously, but baseball is not coming back at Boise State at any point.
Well, and as you were, when we were talking about this earlier, Paul, you pointed out, well, these are all kids that were recruited to come into this school. And yeah, I'm sure some of them are going to find new homes, but they wanted their college experience and their college career to be played out at Boise. So either way, it's awful.
Yeah. Furloughs throughout Mountain West. If you're not familiar with what has been going on, Fresno State did furloughs. They're taking pay cuts at many of the schools. When you look at the budget, this article comes to us from the San Diego Union Tribune. San Diego State has a $54 million annual athletic budget. Boise State's is $42 million, and half of that is football.
Wow.
Because they stir the drink.
Right.
And now that they're going to drop $3 million from the budget,
that's two teams in their entire existence.
Yeah. That's just crazy. A lot. So we'll see what happens as we push forward here again. Hopefully this isn't the first of many dominoes, but when your big school in your conference is the first one to make the cuts, just, you know, writing on the wall, maybe it's not in Sharpie at this point, but feels like we're staring at it.
And yeah,
just
brace, it's going to take some scrubbing.
Right, brace yourselves for what may be occurring if things don't, if the ship doesn't get righted. All right.
Number three.
All right, so coronavirus, yeah, masks, guys, please.
Wear them.
Please.
Please, for the love of the Lord.
So baseball is returning. We're still, just like the NHL, we just don't have a schedule yet. It's in the hands
of the
players. We know they're coming back. We know that Rob Manfred is thinking that, you know what, we're only going to get about 60 games in anyway, and we're going to rush to get them done. So hopefully as the teams return, and teams are already back, you know, playing ball, you know, practicing, reporting to camp. First workouts for the Dodgers are tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Other teams are already returning. But with this kind of quirky scheduling that they agreed to in terms of regionalistic schedules, it means certain teams won't be able to play in certain places. But baseball is going to move forward on its Field of Dreams game because they've already invested so much money into building a baseball field in the cornfields of Iowa.
And if we're playing regular baseball, canceling the Field of Dreams game might be a little undercutting to the morale.
Right. So there might not be any fans in attendance because they're still building it, which it's just odd now. I'm like, they're building a little league field, essentially. They don't even need to build stands. Just do the portable bleacher thing like they did in the damn movie.
Yeah, or just have everybody show up in their pop-up chairs like you do in the good old days.
Yeah, that'd be okay.
If you got double cup holders, you're good to go.
Right.
Yeah.
Just make
get
it
a
free.
Wagon.
Right, make it free.
Have an umbrella in case things get a little heated out there.
6 feet apart, of course.
6 feet apart.
But the Yankees were supposed to play in the Field of Dreams games against the Chicago White Sox. It is no longer going to be the White Sox. It'll now be the St. Louis Cardinals, which honestly, I think fits the game much better.
Yeah. The Yankees don't get all of the nice things. I understand. It's one of the biggest.
John Sterling there.
Oh, okay. That is a person that we definitely know who that is.
A play-by-play announcer. You went, the Yankees.
Oh, well.
That's a John Sterling.
Well, good for me and John. We are twins. But yeah, I agree with you. St. Louis a lot more screams to me Field of Dreams, organic, pure baseball experience than the Bronx Bombers. But who am I to say?
Well, they're going to push forward. The game is supposed to be August 13th, so maybe that they've got to work around that or whatever it is, or try to schedule 3 or 4 games there.
I guess the World Series. Let's just do it there.
That would be okay if they could cover it. You've been in Iowa in the middle of October, November.
It's not a lot down there.
No, there's not a lot.
They have
it's
a casino
windy.
Right over the border.
Council Bluffs. I know where that is.
And then that's about it. Yeah, that's it.
So baseball is moving forward, and as they get their schedule together, know that that schedule will include the Field of Dreams game with the White Sox and the Cardinals.
Number four.
All right, so yes, finally, you can stop booing and stop scorching people on social media. Kobe Bryant got the cover of the NBA 2K21, and it looks pretty freaking cool.
Does it? I'm trying to load it.
It is pretty insane. The cover of the current gen game features artwork of Bryant from his 81-point performance wearing the number 8.
Nice.
And there's also another cover, so they did multiple covers. There's a cover of a next-gen game featuring artwork of Bryant wearing the 24 after he scored 60 in his final game.
Got you.
And then they did a time-lapse video and whatnot. The artwork is their paintings. They did paintings for the artwork. I mean, these are legitimate. I could see people just buying this, not even for the game. Like,
put it in a frame.
I need to frame this because it's
a collector's item.
It's legit.
I'm just waiting for the old internet to work. But water paint. I love it.
That's like this really cool watercolor, lots of hybrid colors.
Very Claude Monet-like.
It's very, very nice. So the Mamba Forever Edition coming forward. Yeah, and so he's been on the cover of the Legend Edition before, so they brought him back again. Mm-hmm. Obviously, with Bryant perishing in the helicopter crash, this is their homage to him, and I will imagine that they will sell. I mean, seriously, they should sell this as a print.
Yeah, I would think you would sell both games. This is a good way to say, give me $150 and I will give you two of these games. You know what I mean? Because you don't buy one without the other. These are collector's editions, absolutely.
So it's Damian Lillard, Zion Williamson, and some really great cover art of Kobe Bryant. We'll have to get that on the socials.
Mm-hmm.
Get that put up. All right, moving on.
Number five.
All right, where do you begin with a story like this? You hear people that in the off season, you know, or fall down a flight of stairs, or
they're dinking around.
Who had avocado hand?
I don't remember, but I remember it was tragic.
Yeah, avocado hand. Yeah. Chicago Cubs pitcher Jose Quintana will be out indefinitely after suffering a left thumb injury while he was washing dishes in Miami.
This is why I don't wash dishes, Paul. This is why I am fully against that chore.
I'm just wondering how he did it, because he suffered a cut on his thumb. And I wash knives. You know, I've washed knives. He had to have 5 stitches and then had to have microscopic surgery on his thumb because they had to fix a nerve. So clearly it was clearly it was a knife or a plate that was, you know, singeing hot or some sort of blunt end. But, you know, so he's wasting a lot of water is what he's doing. So what he's doing is he's filling, first of all,
sorry about your hands. Second of all, you're using too much water.
Dishwasher. So what he's doing, no, he is using too much water because I'm assuming he's got 2 sinks. He's probably got 1 sink on one side that he uses to rinse and the other one to soak.
Yeah.
So he's filling that thing up and he fills it with bubbles. Well,
you
most
reach
people,
in.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
It just, you've done this. Everyone's done this before.
Yeah, go in with the claw protection.
I've done this before, but here's the deal. Don't reach to the bottom.
Yeah, no.
Don't go to the bottom. Get the low-hanging fruit from the top, and then it'll slowly go down. You can move things over.
Or do knives separately in general. Just don't put them in the sink.
Yeah,
put them in a cup.
Knives you could, yeah.
Yeah.
Something.
I mean, we've all had those moments where you get injured doing something that's totally not athletic in any... It's just weird. But close call. You have to get nerve repair. I mean, he's only going to be out for a couple of weeks, but I know that nerves are pretty important for the old pitchers.
I walked into a glass door once.
Did you really?
Literally forgot.
Were you sober?
Literally forgot it was there. It was in my office. I forgot. I turned to look, and it was like that thud, like that.
You led with the head?
Hollow thud. And I'm wearing glasses at the same time, so I bent my glasses and cut my nose. And I'm like, what the? Oh, yeah, glass door.
I walk into stuff all the time. Like, it was just, oh, that wall just popped out of nowhere. The desk hasn't been there this entire time, but somehow I walked right into it, or at least got clipped I went by.
Unfortunately, here, we only have, like, one glass door in this entire building. It's, like, one of the front entrance doors that get past the extra security layers or whatnot. That's, like, the only one. So I haven't had that issue here, but my last building, we were all about natural light, almost too much.
Really?
Yeah. If you were a migraine sufferer, you probably would have hated the building that I worked in last.
It has to be better than these lights, though.
It had pretty views. It just way too much light.
Yeah.
Like, almost like, you know, I should have gone total Lestat on that.
Not enough curtains or drapes.
No, enough curtains and drapes. Just nobody used them. That's what it was.
Well, I'm glad that you're okay.
Anyway, best wishes.
That he's okay.
Yeah, to Jose Quintana, who decided to do the dishes is what you have to do if you want clean things, but realize that there's a right way to wash dishes.
There's risk involved.
It's true.
You have to be aware of the risk.
Maybe that's why guys don't like doing dishes.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't mind doing dishes, but I mean, seriously, if there's that threat of injury, cutting a nerve, jeez.
Right.
All right. There's your check down. Your 5 biggest stories of the afternoon, powered by radio.com sports. Coming up next, trouble with the bubble.
You found the Playmakers on CBS Sports Radio 1140.
Paul and Lindsay with you on this Thursday getaway day for many of you.
Run away!
A lot of folks don't have to work tomorrow.
Swim away!
You know, recognized holiday, ahead of the holiday kind of thing.
I think we all could use an extra vacation day, don't you?
Sure. I love staying at home. That's so fun.
It is.
But I do it for you. I do it for all of you.
Yep.
That's what I do. Just stay home.
Do it for humanity.
Right. It's okay.
For sports.
Y'all do what you need to do. Yeah. I would like to watch some sports in person at some point.
Yes.
There's some trouble with the bubble. The NBA, we'll start there, Linz. The health and safety rules out there, they're already complaining. The players are already complaining, legitimately. We're talking about 22 teams.
Yep.
Right? 22 teams, 15, assuming they're all going to take 15 players because they've got to bring them all with them. So, quick math, 330 players, coaching staffs, whatnot. But we're just talking about the players. Players are all complaining already. DeMar DeRozan says, it's ridiculous. I can't play doubles ping pong. Seriously? That's your big worry is doubles ping pong?
Well, I don't know if he's complaining and using those specific examples as his example. But
oh, no, for sure.
This isn't all sunshine and rainbows, though.
It's not expected to be sunshine and rainbows.
No, I know. And that's where it's tough because when it comes to how this is being set up for them and all the things that they're going to have access to, all the resources that are going to be available to them. It's a pretty cushy thing, obviously. They're spending, what, $110 million at the NBA to put this on in Florida?
Plenty. Not worried about the money, though.
But at the same time, they're human beings. They're dealing with the same amount of stress and anxiety, if not more, around just our world right now. And they're going to be put in a hamster cage, essentially. It's a very nice hamster cage, but they're going to be watched. And yeah, you can play with your buddies. You can play basketball. But we can't play doubles ping pong. So I can go up for a rebound. And that's fine, but it's way too risky for me to play doubles and ping pong. I think that's the angle that he's taking.
No, and listen, I get that. There are certain, we've been going back and forth right now about the use of masks.
Yes.
Okay, let's be honest. We've all been doing it. Can I sit in a restaurant? Yes. Can I go protest for social change? Yes.
Yes.
Wait a second. Why can I not get together with 50 of my friends if 1,000 people can walk through the street? I totally get that.
Mm-hmm.
I absolutely understand that. But these guys are talking about like it's some big life altering change that they're being asked to go play a sport that they're getting well paid for. There's the money part that they're getting paid for. And the chief complaint is about the fact that, oh man, I mean, even Damian Lillard has come out and said, guys are going to break the rules. He's like, these are adults.
Well, Stephen A. Smith went on a diatribe for like 3 minutes about how they're not going to have access to certain things that they're used to.
Like women.
Yes.
Let's just call it what it is.
Yeah.
They're going to lock it down. They're going to have private security locked down. But What is it about? Is it about them playing? Is it about them getting the message out that they are there playing and things are okay?
Mm-hmm.
It's okay to complain about your workspace. I mean, everybody does it. We all do it. I mean,
I know, but this is a next level workspace. And you said, well, this isn't life altering. Yes, it is. They're literally picking up their life and saying, fam, you guys stay away. I'm going to go live here for it's temporary, but it is life altering. And you're making a life altering decision whether or not the worst case scenario comes to fruition. That's beside the fact. But at the end, you're making a big time decision
but
that is life altering.
But they do this in Europe all the time.
I know, but it's we consistent. Don't live in Europe, Paul.
No, but it's consistent. But basketball players from Europe do make up the game, and they get it. They've done this before in other
yes.
tournaments. This isn't a change. They live in lockdown.
Yes.
They live in lockdown.
We live in the United States. I know that there are European players, including Giannis, including plenty of players that are going to be present for this restart in Florida. And they've talked about those experiences that, like you said, in Europe, it's 3-4 weeks. It's that's how they do. It's an Olympic village. But that's not how things usually go here. And as I said, we're dealing with a lot. So it is kind of a big deal. And so that's why I don't really like hearing about the complaining, but I also get that they're going to find something to complain
there's
about.
There's a right to complain, and then there's a right to, okay, so, you know, if you don't want to be there, don't be there. You have
yeah.
the option to opt out.
Absolutely.
So if you're not going to opt out, why complain about doubles ping pong? I mean, why complain about having to live in a space where you can't go out and do things and go out and do stuff because they think the bubble is going to burst anyway. If you had Damian Lillard coming out and saying, you know what, the bubble's going to burst regardless and they're going to lock things down, but then you have leading health experts saying, this is actually a pretty unique plan. Like, I hope they pull it off
yeah.
and make it happen.
But like you said, it's about personal responsibility. If that's a great plan and you could execute it to perfection as close as you can, it's still couldn't be enough.
But if I go walking into a situation, Linz, and I don't mean to cut you off. If I go walking into a situation, I'm already feeling garbage about the situation. It's not going to work. You're not going to be a good place walking in there. You're going to take your frustrations out on something stupid. And what's going to happen is, you know, you're going to hurt your team because you're going to say something dumb or you're going to do something ridiculous, like some guy fouls you really hard. Oh, why'd you foul me hard? Well, because this is the game. Well, you shouldn't have done that. Push comes to shove. You get ejected. Cost your team a dub.
Okay. I see now that he's lost hundreds of thousands of dollars for not having the doubles ping pong thing. I get it. And I 100% agree with you by walking into situations with a positive mindset and how that affects your level to succeed. If you don't think you're going to succeed, guess what? You're not going to, because you have to fake it till you make it, even if you don't believe it on the inside. But at the same time, I don't have a problem with them voicing concerns about this. If everybody was just saying, yep, we're going, we're not questioning anything, we're just going to go, everything's going to be super safe, well, then how are we keeping people in check?
Don't go. If you're not on the page, don't go. I mean, that's as simple as that. Because
yeah.
there's 300 other guys who are like, hey, I want to play. Let's go play.
Right.
It's cool. I don't care if they throw my deck of cards away. I don't care if I've got to hole up in my hotel room and read Dostoevsky or, you know, whatever, or the Twilight series. I don't care. It doesn't matter. If you don't want to go and you're already feeling garbage about it, don't go. I mean, it's as simple as that.
Yeah, that's I agree with you. But I also agree that we can have people complain. It's not a perfect thing. Everybody's dealing with different stressors. Everybody's dealing with different levels of anxiety right now. If this is the way that he helps kind of dispel this in a way, and we're probably reading into it a little bit too much, that's fine. Because if that's what brings...
That's what we're supposed to do.
Well, I know, but I'm just saying, though, because people are all dealing with and processing stuff in different ways. I'm not saying this is an example of it, but let's cut him some slack.
I'll give him a little teeny bit.
Okay.
Just a little bit.
Just a little bit.
Paul and Lindsay with you, the Playmakers here on CBS Sports Radio 1140. So with the 30 players in Major League Baseball who apparently were having their own training camp.
Oh.
In Palm Beach, Florida. Apparently when Major League Baseball was shut down, this is according to The Athletic, 30 players, including some very... very big names.
Notable
names. Max Scherzer, Justin Verlander. You guys
know those. Cy Youngs between those two.
You know those names. Giancarlo Stanton and Paul Goldschmidt. They all got together in Florida and had a training camp along with a number of other players, saying that the health and safety part was hard, but they were still able to have a camp. And apparently nobody said anything about it legitimately until this came out. So well done, first of all, for knowing that these guys are the guys you can tell anything to.
Yes.
And they will never say a word.
Or the paparazzi was just chasing after Tom across the street and all of his own workouts that he was
But the thing
on.
Is, there were no known cases of virus. So whatever they did, whatever it was, because they even had Jacoby Brissett showing up.
Really?
This thing and throwing passes at this camp.
Interesting.
And they kept it like shockingly safe. They called it Fight Club.
Brilliant. They don't talk about it.
They didn't talk about it. So they tweaked a bunch of rules, but it was like, okay, so
let's bring them in for a group presentation.
I know. I'm kind of like, what do we take away from this one? Because I'm conflicted a little bit because first of all, you know, listen, I just spent literally 90 days in my house, going to the store once every 2 weeks.
Right.
Ordering food from delivery services that I would never have ordered from before.
And you guys can't take a beat and stay off the field.
Right. But, like, I need to go out and play baseball with some buddies, or I don't know, maybe there's a unique agent link or whatever to these guys.
Right.
Again, I'm conflicted about
it. It's a very active cul-de-sac.
But I'm very But I'm very happy about the fact that nobody got sick.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what does this tell people? It's just this monster mixed message for me.
Yes. And I think that's okay, Paul. I think it's okay to be conflicted. I think we need to spend more time in that zone just in life in general. But I also should say these are the names that we know that are known. We don't know how many more were involved and what their test results are. They're not going to be releasing those. But it seems like it's all clear. But still, it's a big risk for them to take, and especially for the negotiations that were going on that took so long just to get them back on the field. You could just look at them and say, so you guys were outside playing here instead of focusing on that. And I know maybe it's not their job, but like mixed messaging.
Sure.
Right?
Because if one of these guys puts out a photo, I mean, seriously, and Dak Prescott got burned over Easter for having an Easter dinner. None of these guys put it. If one of these guys had put something out, because I'm wondering, like if Max Scherzer, like all of a sudden needs Tommy John surgery.
Yeah.
One game into the season, or Justin Verlander's in that same boat.
Giancarlo has, how long has he been able to stay on the field in the last 3 years? For maybe longer than 15 games? Probably less.
I'm like, you wonder if, like, you know, this extra time that they're able to put in, you know, hurts them or harms. And we won't know until they get on the field, obviously. But,
right.
Man, what kind of...
Well, and I get it, too, to the point where you guys want to play the sport that you've always played, the escapism of it. You want to have some relief from the storm that we're all living in. And that's why it's okay to have one foot on one side and one foot on the other.
Sure.
You can see the motivations why in their most pure form.
Athletes are wired differently.
Yep.
Especially at the high level.
Yep.
There's no doubt about that.
Yep.
I'm just... Yeah, I mean, they were playing games.
They were playing games. And I'm super glad that none of them got sick, but, you know, still, risk.
Yeah,
risk.
Wow, they just, I mean,
In Florida, of all places.
They went after their own herd immunity.
Right.
So they legit pulled it off. And again, once this entire group of players comes out, and there'll be stories talked about, you know, the secrets, you know, Fight Club,
for
baseball,
sure, this is a podcast in the making.
Yeah, you've got to find out who these guys are and then tell them your deepest, darkest secrets.
Yeah.
Because they apparently would be the ones to do so with.
Yeah. A lot of trophies, a lot of awards in that group, or at least the ones that are known to us right now.
So even the Titus Bubbles, not so bubbly.
You had to do it. That's our job. It's every individual's job to hold the rope, hold their portion.
Here's the positive news that's coming out, apparently, from the National Institutes of Health today, that they are putting together what's known as a point-of-care coronavirus test that would give results within an hour and be administered at sporting events, to where it could be possible for Americans to attend sporting events in time for the fall football season.
So you show up early, you get tested, you have an hour to wait, you got tailgating time, you got some space, you got some brews, some food, whatever else. Wait for the results to come back, they let you in.
Yeah, we'll see how this goes.
If it's doable, that's amazing.
That just coming out within the past couple of hours here. Again, this is from the National Institutes of Health. So we'll see.
Miami had the protocol implemented before all this came down, right?
Correct, yeah. Pro Player Stadium, they were ready to go with social distancing procedures that would at least put 25% of people in the stands with some very creative entrances and exits and the fact that you couldn't pee.
Right, because they put that protocol in place because that's where a lot of the Ebola outbreaks were a few years ago.
Right. So there's people working it out. We'll just figure how it actually works out here.
Yeah. All we got to do is wear masks, Paul. That's it.
Clock is ticking. There's no doubt about it. Coming up next, Joey Chestnut thinks he's going to eat all the hot dogs.
You found the Playmakers on CBS Sports Radio 1140.
Just catching something amusing here on the internet, Slins.
You are smiling over there.
Yeah, it's pretty funny.
Want to share with the class?
Yeah, there's a reporter from the Los Angeles Times who put up a little impromptu poll here recently for best California city name. And the four choices are Rancho Cucamonga, Chowchilla, Wairika, and Carmel by the Sea. Now, everybody's like... Which are great.
The pinkies are very high right now.
Which are four, great choices. However, apparently everyone's thinking, dude, you missed the total layup.
Oh, really?
Yes.
I'm not super familiar with the towns in the Californias.
In Northern California, there is a town that is unmistakably kind of, everybody takes photos in front of it.
In front of the sign.
And lights up.
What is it?
Weed.
Weed, California.
Yes.
You don't say.
Yes.
I associate those commonly.
Everyone kind of just said, "Dude, you missed the game."
I know, but it's almost too obvious. Carmel by the Sea.
I've been there. It's a beautiful town.
Come on,
beautiful town.
Call me Ishmael. Come on,
Pebble Beach is right there.
I know Pebble Beach is a great name, but Carmel by the Sea.
Carmel by the Sea is fantastic.
There are a lot of benches that are on a beach just to outlook towards the ocean, so you can have your existential crisis.
There aren't. There are only $1 million homes.
Oh,
there.
Okay.
There's nothing to do with the benches.
A lot of sitting around and waiting and watching things unfold in front of your very eyes.
I've got a few photos from Carmel by the Sea.
That's probably more for weed. That definitely happens in Weed, California. There are definitely benches to have existential crises in Weed, California.
I'm sure there are.
I'm sure.
Coming up this weekend, the annual Wright, believe it or not, so we said, hey, there's golf this weekend, and hey, there's some auto racing. We forgot about competitive eating.
How could we?
The annual Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest is actually still going to take place this weekend.
Really?
They're not going to do it at Coney Island, though. They normally do it with, about 1,000 people out in front, counting, essentially, and watching
people. Might need to disinfect Coney Island a little more extensively.
Watching people eat. They're going to do it behind closed doors. They were smart, and I'll give, total tip of the cap to these guys. Joey Chestnut is the world record holder.
Yes.
With 74 hot dogs.
Casually.
He's going to go up against just a handful of other competitive eaters. This is basically like...
Pawns.
Yeah, he thinks he's going to set a new record because of a controlled environment.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be cooler inside. Air conditioned.
Yes.
Not while you're standing outside Coney Island. It's like a noontime start kind of thing.
Yeah. High noon,
right,
literally.
Right. Hot dogs.
And they don't eat hot dogs like you and I eat hot dogs
either,
Paul.
No, they don't.
I'm sure everybody has seen footage of some sort of a hot dog eating contest at some point, but the whole dipping the buns in the water, to me, I can't.
It's a little sacrilege, yeah.
It grosses me out. It really does.
And, Las Vegas was the capital of competitive eating for a while. We had a number. If you go back into the YouTube archives, you can see made-for-television events here in Las Vegas on the Strip and on sound stages.
Uh-huh.
But they're going to do it still on ESPN. And, again, Major League Eating, which is the name of the group that sponsors all these spaghetti
yes.
matzo ball, popsicles, whatever it is that
yes,
they're
we
eating.
Compete in eating disorders, yes.
Yeah. The Major League Eating was smart because New York quarantines people from California.
Yeah, for 14 days, if I'm not mistaken.
They flew Chestnut in early.
Oh.
And made him quarantine early. So he's been there for nearly 3 weeks.
He is the champion.
Yes.
This is how many has he won over the course of his career?
12, I think.
Yeah. You're in double digits.
Yeah. So he thinks he's going to beat the 74.
Well, he says that because you're not outside, the elements do make the hot dogs taste a little bit better. You're obviously not sweating as much. I'm sure there is absolutely a competitive advantage to be competing in the way that they are this year versus what they usually do.
Hopefully it's not a carpeted room.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Just.
Yeah. The hot dog water splashed to the floor. You must clean that up. The last job I would want.
Listen, my daughter pooped on a chair yesterday, so yeah. I mean, I've cleaned up worse, but
that just, is less gross to me than this.
It's just one of those things. It's like, you know, I get competitive eating. I think some of it's really interesting, but there's a reason I think why this is the only one that's put on TV. You know, just because of the holiday aspect, and it's Coney Island, and it's a total sideshow. I mean, this is the new circus.
But it's a challenge of the human condition. You have to train for this,
and it's hard to measure other foods. Because in the other competitive eating world, you know, you can do a certain, like, number, but in some cases, they just measure by the pound.
Right. Because you can't say a plate of spaghetti. Well, is this plate a little more full than the, like, what are you counting, strands of the pasta to make sure it's all uniform across? You're absolutely right. The counting of the hot dogs, you have two parts, but you got to eat both parts.
Right.
It's compartmentalized. We like things in boxes.
The crazy thing is that we watch this stuff for the train wreck. I mean, I haven't missed a hot dog eating contest, I want to say, probably 13, 14 years. Even when I worked on July 4th.
All you're doing, puke, 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 puke. He won't. Oh, he's got it. It's okay. He's got it. Gets another 5 hot dogs down, and then it's all downhill from there.
Yeah, that was the thing about NASCAR racing for the longest time. You just watch for the wrecks, right? You watch for the wrecks. Now, I appreciate it a little bit more, and I do watch for strategy. Uh-huh. I mean, I watched for the drafting and the bumping, and it was clear there was a race. We had a race last weekend where it was coming down to literally like the 9th and 10th places for a point.
Yes.
And the two drivers were bumping each other after the final turn. They
bumping
literally just kept bashing into each other.
It's like a middle school dance out there.
But, you know, you watch it for different reasons. But yeah, for competitive eating, you literally are waiting for what's known as the reversal of fortune.
Yeah, because they're either dry heaving or
no.
And you're just, it's just, that's,
that just makes people sound, it just makes ill.
I know, but that, it's okay to be uncomfortable.
Especially when it comes to eating.
Yeah, well, that's the only thing we have for 4th of July this year. So
right.
I guess we should be like, yeah, this one is just gross. It sucks. Oh, that's all we got this year.
They're going to show it multiple times over the weekend,
slow
too.
Slow motion.
On ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, and then some other channel that I'm not familiar with, ESPN Plus,
When do you think the next time after they compete that they eat? How long do you think they wait?
Afterwards?
Yeah.
I would say probably they probably get up and have breakfast the next morning.
Oh, God.
Because there's still something inside of you going, you know what? I could kill for a cup of coffee, a couple pieces of sourdough.
Yeah.
You know?
Don't they eat a lot of lettuce to help stretch out their stomach lining? Isn't that a thing?
I'll be honest
that was
with
on
you,
True
not,
Life. That was on True Life, I'm a Competitive Eater, which Joey Chestnut was featured on in 2006. That is a fact.
Yeah, I'm not familiar
Gorgeous
with how you story. How you warm up for that. For me, it was like get really fat and then get really skinny.
Yeah. I don't know if there's a stretching routine that you could do.
Well, they did the jump, like Kobayashi jumped up and down when he was eating. Like he would jump up and down.
Yeah, but could it be just like a nervous tick? You know what I mean? Just to keep things moving. I don't know.
At least ice cream and like there's, my son's obsessed with watching this guy eat. Like he does like all these food challenges, not for time, but because he can do them.
Right.
And like, he ate like 48 popsicles the other day in like 10 minutes. He had 230 cookies and a gallon of milk in like 25 minutes.
It's like drinking a gallon of milk in less than an hour. You technically can't do it, but you try. No, just me?
No, I've never done that.
Cool.
I did a bottle of hot sauce once.
Yeah, or the cinnamon.
That was the worst.
You try to, you dump
the
out cinnamon some cinnamon in your,
no, no, no.
Yeah, no,
no
don't
I don't
do that.
I don't advocate for that one.
No. Not saying we advocate for any of this, but some people try it.
I was hurting for 2 hours after the hot sauce one.
I think I could do the milk one, because I drink a lot of milk.
Yes.
I should try.
You were definitely not lactose intolerant.
No.
I've seen this firsthand.
If I was, we wouldn't be here anymore. I don't know if we're going to be able to make it if that ever happens.
All right, folks. Coming up next, it's your Daily Pep Talk.
you found the Playmakers on CBS Sports Radio 1140.
All right. Hour number two on the way. Tony Cordasco joins at the top of the hour. But first, your daily pep talk.
It is time for a daily pep talk, Paulito. And it's all about the message of I've come too far to quit. Let's run that tape, Trent.
When I look at people, I always ask the question. I say, man, tell me what Nike stands for. They said, oh, Inc., that's easy. Just do it. I said, tell me what Adidas stands for. Oh, Inc., that's easy, man. Impossible is nothing. I said, now tell me what you stand for. When people look at you, do they think excuses? When people look at you, do they think victory? When people look at you, do they think that's a person that's going to give me everything they got, not on some days, but on every day, and it's not going to be predicated upon if I feel like it, because I think we all know if we only worked on the days when we felt like it, none of us would get much accomplished. I'm talking about the real level of commitment. Not the commitment that falls in line if everything goes right. I'm speaking of the commitment that says, I am going to stay true to what I said I would do long after the mood that I've set it in has left.
See, most people, ladies and gentlemen, are stoppable. Most people, all you have to do is tell them no. All you have to do is make it inconvenient for them. All you have to do is make it difficult for them, and they're stuck. See, when you go to get your goal, don't think that all you have to do is think positive and everything's going to work out okie-dokie for you. When you go to get your goal, you are sending a telegram to Murphy's Law to visit you personally.
You thought you was just going to have a dream and a goal, and you were just going to wake up and just walk into the sunset. You're like, dream, boom. It don't work like that. You have a dream, and then life punks you. Life punks you and say, do you really want this? You're going to lose friends. Do you really want this? Do you really want this? Cousins going to abandon you. People that you used to be like this with don't think you bougie, don't want to deal with you. It's a part of it, but I paid too much. If I was going to quit, I would have quit in the abandoned building when I wanted to commit suicide and take my life. I should have quit when I heard my voice say, your mama don't want you. Your daddy don't want you. Take your life. I got through that. So why am I going to quit over an F on a grave? Come on. And so I'm telling y'all, you have come too far to quit now. You have invested too much to quit now. You have lost too much to quit now. Don't cry about it. Don't whine about it. Get a reward for your pain.
And so by being committed to everything that I started, I finished it. It built a certain type of spirit. It built a certain type of mentality. It built a certain type of individual. And so now I couldn't quit even if I wanted to. I couldn't stop even if I wanted to. I had too much sweat equity in my life and everything that I was doing.
You're too close to quit now. You gotta take another lap. You gotta take another lap. Because you never know. This might be one. You can't stop because you're tired. You can't stop because you got your feelings hurt. You got to take another lap. Keep walking. Keep walking. Keep walking. You're going to make it. You're going to do it. You got an unstoppable fire. Come on, take another lap. Don't you stop. Don't stop walking.
Laps.
Don't stop.
Take another lap, Paul.
Right?
Gosh.
There's some perseverance labeled there.
We all need some of that right now.
We could. There's no doubt about it. But perseverance will help as we look to our European friends to set the trends and lead the way. The French Open is announced today. They're going to allow fans to attend this year's tournament.
Wow.
60% of the stands will be filled with fans at Roland Garros in September. Tickets will go on sale in 2 weeks. For the tournament at the end of September, early October.
What's that website? I can go cover that, correct?
Sure. They've already got a health and safety protocol to ensure the safety of fans in place. Cases in NASCAR events where they brought in the first responders at Talladega, and then Miami had a few thousand in the stands there. You could tell, but it was just kind of like, oh, okay.
We had that one guy that wandered onto a golf course a couple of weeks ago.
That one dude.
That one dude.
So there is some hope. There's some hope that they might have people at the Kentucky Derby, too. And,
right.
You know, again, the news that we got today about perhaps a rapid corona test that'll, you know, figure out if you had it or have it. And if you have it, which would kind of suck if you got to a venue, I'll be honest with you, thinking about that a little bit more.
Yeah.
If I had a ticket and I'm going to that venue and the way tickets are being traded these days, it's not like you could, you know, just kind of hand them off to anybody.
And I'd say, well, if you're planning to go to the game and you're feeling symptomatic, maybe we just give those tickets to someone else.
Yeah, you're probably not going to go regardless.
Yeah, but, why waste the time and put other people at risk?
I think franchises are going to have to loosen up their restrictions on transferring tickets.
Slightly.
For a lot of folks. It's like, listen, man, I bought them. You're going to let me give them to anybody that I want
at
this point.
Exactly.
You know, no service charges. Just let me hand them off. Make it simple.
Yep.
So, but you know,
to get to hope, we got to do what's necessary.
Right. You know, and I hope it all comes true. Mm-hmm. I hope we can all get back in the stands sooner than later.
Yep.
All right, coming up next, Tony Cordasco is going to join in hour number two. Lindsay and Tony are going to run down some late-breaking stuff coming out of the NFL in terms of name changes. And that's going to be an interesting bit coming your way here on the Playmakers.
Inside information on your teams, honest opinion, and the biggest names in sports. It's time, Las Vegas, for the Playmakers.
Greetings and salutations. Welcome to the second hour of the Playmakers on July 2nd in the year 2020. This is our final show for the week. We're going to be taking tomorrow off in observance of the Independence Day holiday on Saturday. But joining me, as he always does each and every day at 4 p.m., is the mayor of Las Vegas, the man with a million burner accounts, and my close personal friend, Uncle Tony Cordasco. Dasco, what's up, my dude?
Everything is good, Lindsay. You know, we know that the NBA has its contenders playing in Florida, but within the last hour, have you seen this news yet? The NBA has a bubble city in Chicago for the 8 non-playoff teams.
Yes, I even saw my favorite reference pretty quick on Twitter. They called them the Delete 8.
The Delete 8? Yes.
Brilliant. Brilliant.
Isn't that brilliant? Yes.
It's
mini camps and games and everything else.
It's a glorified NIT, really, if you think about it.
It's so bad.
Yeah, but, you know.
I mean, who's going to want to show up? And, of course, Knicks fans took the liberty of saying that the Knicks are going to raise a championship banner from the Delete 8.
Yeah, well, I don't know if it's so much about fans, but I know that the layoff, because we don't know when the start of the next season is, because we're just trying to get to the final few games and in the playoffs for this season, but that's a long layoff for those teams, so I think the NBA is pretty smart to create that additional hub city for those teams so they're not just, you know, showing up in December when 80% of the league has already been playing, you know?
The Delete 8, that's great. They have to have a banner that they hang.
Oh, yeah. Or like a belt or something, Dasco. We'll have to brainstorm it. We'll have to send those creative ideas their way, but I'm sure the NBA is all right. But, Dasco, we like to highlight your genius on the show to start off the 4 o'clock hour with your Don't At Me with Uncle Dasco portion. So what kind of social media brilliance would you like to bestow on us today?
The handler of the Stanley Cup always wears gloves. Knowing where the cup has been, he should have been wearing a mask all along.
Oh wow! Oh wow! Dasco, why we're trying to go into vacation? Like you're firing shots across the bow here, but you're absolutely right. That Stanley Cup has probably
I've been around it.
Have you really? Good for you.
Yes. I promised that I would not tell any stories about the Tampa Bay Lightning when they won in 2003-04.
Yep.
In the real world, sweet. I promise you I will not.
Okay.
Or
that bar
in Anaheim after the Ducks won. I promise that I will not.
Oh, you're a cup chaser then. Very interesting. I think I've been around the Stanley Cup where you could like take your picture with it, but I wasn't willing to wait 2 hours and it's not like I'm gonna touch it, so that's sacrilegious in the game. But it does need to be handled with gloves, the Stanley Cup, because it is bar none the greatest trophy in all of sports. It's not a close.
Right, but they, you know what, Lindsay? So they come in and they read you the rules, you know.
Oh, yeah. No, I know, Dasco.
You know, but well, when it's in an environment where there's a party and stuff, right?
Yep.
And there's all these rules attached to it. And then the handler leaves. And then along with the handler leaving, everything goes out the door as well.
Plenty,
no one pays attention.
Plenty of beers and margaritas have been drank out of that cup. And there have been plenty of newborn children baptized in that very cup as well, Dasco. It is a jack of all trades. And that's why it is the greatest trophy. that's sports.
That's the G version or the PG version.
We'd have to get some sort of like after show podcast if we were going to divulge those types of stories, because the FCC is just not going to allow that type of thing. At least
Martine
on St.
Louis.
Yeah, Martine St. Louis. Okay, yeah. You had a couple of beers out of that cup as well, Dasko. Maybe you're still trying to sober up over there. But good stuff. Good stuff as always, Dasko, for our Don't At Me with Uncle Dasko portion of our segment. But we got to stick to sports because that is what we're supposed to do. But I have some news for all of you because the sports and current events exist in the same reality that we happen to live in. So we must discuss the current events and sports that are happening in the reality that we live in. So it's not necessarily a new debate. It's not necessarily a new story, but there's definitely some new steam around the possibility, or at least moving towards the possibility of the NFL taking some steps, or at least the team, the Washington Redskins, taking some steps to change their name and their moniker, Dasko. And as I said, this has been one of those debate topics for years. Dan Snyder, who is the owner of the Washington football team there, I'll try to say that the actual moniker as few times as I possibly can, but he has gone on the record saying in 2013 saying, "We'll never change the name. It's that simple. Never." And you can print that in caps. But obviously things are changing in our world, in our society, and it's for the better. But this might be finally the point in time where this is going to be able to be pushed through the finish line, Dasko.
So a lot of developments today. So earlier in the day, key investors that were said to be worth over $620 billion had been sending letters to major companies like Nike, Pepsi, and FedEx to end their sponsorships with the Washington team.
Mm-hmm.
So FedEx today, late in the day, has now asked the team to change its name. And that's big news because they own the stadium naming rights through 2027, I think they were saying. And
yes.
So it said that we have communicated to the team in Washington our request that they change the team name. Ironically, Fred Smith is the chairman of FedEx, right?
Yep.
He is also part of the Redskins ownership group.
Oh.
So what does that tell you?
It tells you that ownership, that is ownership other than the majority owner, Dan Snyder, is ready to push this through.
Exactly. They're going to put more heat on Daniel Snyder, and he's going to have to cave.
Well, he should have caved a long time ago. I don't think there's any question about that. But he has been very adamant about him retaining that name. He said he's a lifelong fan of the team. And I get it. It's a team. There are memories associated with it. But at the end of the day, the word Redskins is considered a racial slur. And as you already highlighted, Dasko, FedEx was part of the 87 investment firms and shareholders that that was part of that letter, including Nike and Pepsi. And as you know, Pepsi is a huge drink everywhere. And Nike, that is the NFL partner for all their uniforms. But PepsiCo, I'll just read what their statement was. They said, Redskins remains a dehumanizing word characterizing people by skin color and a racial slur with hateful connotations. Virtually every major national American Indian organization has denounced the use of Indian and Native related images, names, and symbols disparaging or offending American Indian peoples. We need to remember that the franchise name is not just a word. It is a symbol that loudly and clearly signals that the Native Americans are not worthy of respect. And PepsiCo also owns the brand, the Aunt Jemima brand, which has been decided over the course of the last few weeks to be sunsetted and to be taken away because of the racist imagery associated that, or at least the racist just kind of base that brand was built upon. And so when you're having, like you said, not just members of the actual ownership group itself, but the sponsor of said stadium, you have some of the biggest brands in the world. And then we forget, Dasko, that they're looking to build a new stadium for that team, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so they want to build a new stadium. FedEx Field is currently in Landover, Maryland.
Mm-hmm.
And Daniel Snyder wants to build a new stadium, and he wants to build it in D.C., but he won't get approvals with the Redskins name. If he wants to return to where the previous site where RFK Stadium was at,
yes,
he has to change the name. And today, Congresswoman Eleanor Holmes Norton, you saw her comments. I mean, she said that I call on Daniel Snyder once again to face that reality, since he does still desperately not want to be, that he desperately wants to be in the nation's capital. He's got a problem that he can't get around, and he can't particularly get around it today after the George Floyd killing. So she says he's got a lot of issues and problems. And, you know,
well, and you
the
need
reason
public
why
money
says,
to fund those new stadiums. That's why.
Oh,
you're,
and
that's,
approvals.
That's
and
the
approvals.
Basic thing. You can't expect the public to pay for help pay for a stadium for a team that has a racial slur and has racist imagery as their mascot, as their thing. And that's the thing. It shouldn't be a mascot. That's it's not a mascot. It's a representation of people. And you're cartoonizing it.
Yeah, well, they made one step forward, you know, last week, so you could see it's coming. I mean,
yeah, it
just
to.
With all of the climate and the change today and the fight against social injustice and all that. And so they made some strides. George Preston Marshall, they removed his name from the Ring of Honor last month. They had a statue of him that they took down. Marshall, if you go back in history, was a racist owner. He wouldn't sign a black player for over three decades. They were the last team to integrate. And Marshall was the guy that handpicked the Redskins name, which, as you said, an ethnic slur against Native American Indians. Marshall said, "I will integrate when the Harlem Globetrotters integrate." That's what he said.
Yeah, that's why we shouldn't.
Tone deafness.
If the statue of the old owner who, like you said, has racist tendencies and foundations there, if that's being removed and he's the one that picked out the name, that has to go too. And that's why I think the analogy that I've been using over the last few days is infection. Like if you have an infection from a wound, like you can't just leave 10% of it in there because then you're not going to heal. It's going to keep festering, right? You have to remove all of it. And that's why I agree with you, Dasko. I think this there's no way that name stays what it is. I don't know if they're going to be able to do that before this year. I think they should have the ability to do it, but I know that there's a lot of different contractual things to go along with it. But, you know, this is kind of one of those final representations, because I remember at the University of North Dakota for decades were the University of North Dakota Fighting Sioux and how important that was. They've changed their now the Hawks. You've seen so many different programs and teams making that switch, doing the right thing and realizing, hey, even if this is, I don't feel like this image means this, but the people that it is depicting, the people that is representing, don't feel like it's a good representation of it, and it is offensive, then that's what we need to make sure that we're listening to those people. And the thing is, too, the more that Dan Snyder pushes this down, the more he hits the snooze button, as he has for years, the more, when you don't answer that question, then other people will ask those questions and look for those answers from others around you. I mean, you have Tony Dungy, who's a legendary NFL coach, who's a member of the NBC coverage of the NFL, said that he's no longer going to use the name during broadcast. He said, when I'm on the air,
doesn't say it.
I just try to refer
blocks it out.
Yeah, I just try to refer to them as Washington. I think it's appropriate. If the team doesn't want to change, then the least I can do is try not to use it. You can say this has been a historic name and we've used this team for X number of years, but in this day and age, it's offensive to some people, so we're going to change it, and I don't think it's that hard. And they even went along and asked a brand new head coach about to start his first season, Ron Rivera, about it, and he, putting him in that position, he said it's a discussion for another time. He shouldn't be the one answering these questions, because he has no control over that. That is the owner's control. And so when you, the more you delegate that away, you're delaying the inevitable. And like Tony Dungy said, I don't think it's that hard. I really don't think it's that hard.
And the Washington Post editorial board, you know, they called on Daniel Snyder to change the name of the Washington NFL team now.
Mm-hmm.
And the one person that I can't understand that has not said one word about it through history, through time, Roger Goodell stays mum on this.
Yeah.
Now, if Patrick Mahomes had played for the Redskins, he would probably have to, he'd be forced to react, but he won't say a word about it.
Well, they just say that's a question for the owner, and then the owner says, well, I'm not going to answer that question, and I get it. It is a question for the owner, but you're also the commissioner. You're supposed to be the brass, the guiding hand, which obviously hasn't always guided the sport in the right directions, but the whole non-answer thing is not really tenable anymore. It's not plausible anymore, at least when it comes to cases like this.
Yeah, Washington's got other issues too. You know, on the field, 10 coaches in 20 years under Daniel Snyder. And I don't know, you know, I've been trying to pinpoint. I don't believe, and I don't know Daniel Snyder, so I don't know where he's coming from. I don't believe that his resistance is racist. I don't believe that it's racist, or at least his excuse isn't.
His intent maybe isn't, but the result is.
Right. The result is absolutely. He's saying, based on history, this was the Redskins team that I grew up with. Washington Redskins, there's history there, and that's why he didn't want to cave in and change it. But if all the sponsors are going to go sideways, as soon as they start to pull money out, and he's had a very successful organization, as soon as they start to pull the money away, and then he's going to have to cave in. And that's where it's at. They're starting to
It's the almighty dollar is undefeated.
Absolutely.
And
I think the change is going to come. I think it's going to come rapidly.
Yeah, and we've even seen this in the last a few weeks about how big brands are basically utilizing this. We saw how Coke and maybe Nike and we had like Patagonia and North Face that said we're not going to advertise on the Facebook platform anymore because we don't agree with the way that they're running things. When the money starts saying we need to go this way, that's when you need to follow. But like you said, Dasko, it shouldn't take this amount of pressure from the dollars. It shouldn't take all of this. You shouldn't be backed up against the wall fighting for to keep a name that means something to you, but all the good feelings that it gives to you also result in hurt feelings, in oppressive feelings, and oppressive messaging for everyone else, which are your clients, which are your audience, which are your fans. And you're just saying, nope, this I like this, and so if I like it, we have to roll with it, and it doesn't matter. No, that's not the world we live in. It shouldn't have been the world that we were living in, and I'm glad that we're all working in our own ways to shape the world that we should live in, that reflects an equal society and one that respects everyone. I don't think that's that much to ask from a institution and an organization that means so much to the cities that it inhibits and to our country in general.
Yeah, one final quote on this. U.S. Rep. Raul Grijalva said today, the time for the name has ended. The name change has ended. There's no way to justify it. You either step into this century or you don't. It's up to the owner of the team to do that.
Absolutely. And we're going to step into this century on the other side of the break here because we're going to keep sticking to sports. We're going to talk about someone who did the exact opposite of that and is a true hero, at least in my definition. We'll get to that right here in a couple of minutes. You're listening to The Playmakers on CBS Sports Radio 1140.
You found The Playmakers on CBS Sports Radio 1140.
Hour number two, the Playmakers here underway until 5 p.m. Lindsey Brown and Tony Cordasco hanging out with you. And I'm going to go out on a limb, Dasko, and I'm going to say that Maya Moore is an American hero. Not because she was the Gatorade Female Athlete of the Year. Not because she led the UConn Huskies to back-to-back national championships and won the John Wooden Award. Not because she's won four WNBA championships or two Olympic gold medals or a WNBA scoring title, a Finals MVP, Rookie of the Year, championships in Europe. None of that. None of it matters, Dasko. Because she sacrificed everything to get one man out of jail who was being jailed unlawfully for years, and she dropped everything to help him in his quest to gain freedom, and it came to fruition earlier this week, just in the last couple of days here. And this has been a long slog. Maya Moore was a member of the Minnesota Lynx, of very near and dear to my heart, and she is one of the biggest names in that city, and definitely one of the biggest names in the world of basketball. She was the first female player to sign with Air Jordan, and she gave it all up in 2019 to help this guy out, Dasko. And so I want to kind of get into this sacrifice that she has made and how impactful that is, especially where we find ourselves and our society today, because she's been way ahead of it. And she's been way ahead of it for pretty much always. And she left the height of her career. Like, this would be like LeBron saying, yeah, I'm going to hang this up for 2 or 3 years. And it's the whole story is just completely inspiring.
It's very inspiring. The video of Jonathan Irons walking out of prison this week after 22 years for a crime that he didn't commit, it went viral. And it was all because Maya Moore just was persistent. She kept fighting. And the story about Jonathan Irons, he was 18. At that time, he was sentenced to 50 years, convicted by an all-white jury of a shooting and burglary at a white man's house outside of St. Louis, a lot of things. There was nothing but truly circumstantial evidence at the time.
No physical
evidence. No fingerprints, no DNA, right? No eyewitnesses. And she met Irons when she was 17. So I think she's like 31. Must be about 14 years now, right?
Yep.
And I was reading, you know, more about the case because I'm a guy that watches court TV, of course.
Yeah.
But the interrogating officer didn't make any audio, Lindsay, or any video recordings of the conversation between those two. And then they asked him in court, nothing but shoddy evidence. They asked the arresting officer and the officer who did the interview, they asked him for his interview notes. And the officer said that he had thrown them away.
Yeah.
And there's just so many holes in this case. I don't know how they convicted him, other than the fact that it was a white jury and a black man.
We know exactly how he was convicted. It was a system that was built for him to fail and for people that looked like him to fail. And to be sentenced for 50 years in prison for a crime that you didn't commit and have no evidence, no physical evidence to prove that, and still be put in that position is insane. And that's the thing. This is just one example of a much larger societal problem in terms of incarceration. But this isn't even, as you said, Maya Moore, she met him through her godparents, through members of her family, and kind of stayed along with this case throughout her career. Obviously, she had an incredible career at UConn before going to the WNBA, before becoming an Olympian and with the European teams. But that wasn't her decision to step away from the game of basketball and basically put all of her efforts towards Mr. Irons' case, or I should say his acquittal, out of it. That wasn't the first time that she took a stand, because I don't know if you remember this, Dasko, but I sure do, because I was still living at home at the time. But in 2016, there was a week where that was when the police brutality was really, really high up in our society. That was right after Philando Castile was murdered in Minneapolis, and Alton Sterling. Those both happened that same week. And to stand up for the justice and accountability, Maya, along with other members of the Minnesota Lynx team, they wore shirts that said Black Lives Matter, and on the back said, "Change starts with us, justice and accountability." And I remember when that was going down and how much fire they were getting for taking the stand. And I know that where we are right now is very different than where we were in 2016. And we know what happened to the messaging of Black Lives Matter and how that was morphed and taken over and all of a sudden became a thing that was used against the movement. And we has since been reclaimed. But you were having members of the Minneapolis Police Department saying, we're not going to work the Minnesota Lynx games anymore. And as we know now, Minneapolis Police Department, along with many other departments across this country, are under extreme scrutiny, and deservedly so, deservedly so. And she took a stand. And that's the thing, is that it's similar to what Colin Kaepernick did in the NFL. I'm going to kneel. We're trying to bring awareness to this issue. But it gets morphed into something that it's not, and all of a sudden it gets lost in just the grander scheme of life. But with Jeremy, with that personal relationship and the process of him of trying to get him out, she realized that, hey, this is my calling right now. This is the best utilization of my path. This is what I feel is the best thing for me to do. And as I said, I don't think the comparison to Muhammad Ali and the sacrifice that he gave, he couldn't fight for 3 years because he refused to go to Vietnam. As a member, as an activist, as an athlete, and how impactful that is. And it's an amazing story, Dasko, and for it to come to fruition in this climate right here, and to see what it takes just to get one man with all the conditions that we laid out before, of how it shouldn't take Maya Moore to leave her crazy successful career, the peak of her game, to go help out this. Because, and I get why she did it, but the system shouldn't be like that.
System is antiquated, and who knows how many more Jonathan Irons there are, you know,
exactly,
in prisons. And she wanted to show up, she said, for things that were mattering more than being a professional athlete. And, you know, a lot of times you'll see some pro athletes and, okay, get the cameras out here. It's kind of for show. Unfortunately, they have money. Okay, so they can throw money around and they want all the publicity. What she did took years of hard work, and she had to step away again, as you said, at the height of her career to help him out. She attended every hearing for Irons, mm-hmm, and she helped him to hire a top defense attorney. And they finally overturned the conviction in March for the lack of evidence. But she is not an athlete that is making tons of money.
No, okay? They don't get paid millions of dollars in the WNBA.
I think she made $100,000 a year, mm-hmm, which is livable, you know, in most states, okay? But you're not living, as they say, high off the hog, right? Like, you're not wealthy. You're not wealthy. So for her to step aside, and I'm sure she has endorsement deals, yes.
Yeah.
But I don't think she makes enough money at the height of her career to just pull it back, right?
Yeah.
Without knowing that she has to dedicate every ounce of her being into this one cause.
Yes.
To make progress.
Yes. She's 28 years old. They're coming off of 4 championships in 6 years as a member of the Minnesota Lynx. And she says, this isn't where I'm supposed to be. This isn't what I'm supposed to be doing right now. And that's the thing about it. Like you said, Dasko, she doesn't have the resources that NBA players do or the male side of sports have access to. But she still puts it all on the line. That Jordan deal, it's crazy enough that she was the first female Air Jordan athlete, that beside itself. But to do that, and like you said, to take time to go to every single trial, to be part of the process of gathering all the information, all the evidence, all of the information that is necessary to make your case in front of the court. And it's not like it's a guarantee either. You have to convince people. The judge had to sit here and review this for weeks, for months. I mean, this entire process of him getting out didn't just happen in like the last 2 months. This is an entire thing. And that's why what she said when she was on Good Morning America recently, Dasko, I just lost my article here. I'm just trying to find it for her quote here. But you have to show up. The first step for anybody, as Maya said, whether you have a huge platform as a pro or if you're just someone who's just getting involved in understanding some of the restoration issues we have in our country, I would say get to know somebody who isn't exactly like you and doesn't come from the same background as you. Educate yourself. That's what she said on Good Morning America. And that's the thing. You got to get out of your bubble. You have to do your best to empathize and to try to walk in other people's shoes. You're never going to be able to do it fully, but that doesn't mean you can't advocate fully for people that are getting the bad end of a deal that wasn't set up for success in the first place. And for her to do it with her status as a professional athlete and as an icon, if she can do that, we can make the small sacrifices every day. We can reach out to people. We can do those small things that help change the world all the work we're trying to do, right?
Yeah, and that video was just gut-wrenching because as Irons was being released, she was on her knees.
Yeah.
I think just overwhelmed, overcome with emotion.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so last year when she walked away from the game, and again, I go to all the WNBA games here with the Aces and everything, I was just curious what she was up to. I mean, she didn't really say much other than the fact that she was going to fight social injustice. And then I guess this past January, that's when she said that she was going to step aside and sit out another season.
Yes.
And that's when she finally mentioned that she was working on the Irons case and that she was consumed by the Irons case.
Right.
And she would take, another season's off, another season off. But I mean, for her to go and attend every hearing, I mean, attorneys are not cheap.
No.
Hire a top defense attorney. I mean, this is just a life mission.
And to put herself fully into the process, too.
That is, like, it's so commendable. And, you know, again, she's just, she's a hero. She's a hero to us. And she's going to help to make change in the justice system, how it treats minorities and the poor. She has to continue, I guess, on this drive. She's consumed.
Right.
You can tell she's consumed, and there's no stopping her now, and she has the momentum. She won't be playing this season.
Right.
And I'm hoping that she can come back next year. She deserves another gold medal.
Well, she does, but if that's what she wants, she's won a lot of things in her career. She's accomplished a lot in her 31 years, but like you said, Dasko, now that there is momentum, now that there is support, and she's always gotten support from the Minnesota Lynx organization. General manager and head coach Cheryl Reeve came out today and made a statement about the case and Maya's involvement. She said, "I'm overcome with joy that Maya and all involved were able to reach their goal of Jonathan's exoneration. But I also can't help but feel a great deal of anger. Maya Moore should never have to leave her profession to engage in the fight against the two-tiered criminal justice system that over policies wrongfully convicts and over sentences black and brown communities. The criminal justice system in America is so far away from fair and equal. It angers me that Maya had to sacrifice so much to overcome this racially disparate system." And as I said, or we've been highlighting, this is the moment for the change. There's no better time than now, but especially now, because everybody is on board with this. We are trying to remake this and to have a boost, to have a proof, a good outcome. It was definitely a hard fought outcome, one that shouldn't have to have been fought nearly as hard. But some positive reinforcement, some the ability to see that this stuff works. If we just put our head down and we do the right thing, that this can happen.
Maya Moore, where would you like to see her? Where could she have the biggest impact? Where could she be the most influential? Would it be in politics? She's obviously a leader and someone who, you know, is going to be a fighter. So where do you think she is in, say, 10 years from now?
Well, I trust Maya. I think wherever she decides, wherever she feels like her platform and her voice and her vision for that, wherever she decides to go, I think that's an absolute winner. I wouldn't be surprised if she got involved with politics, or maybe she goes with the nonprofit side. Maybe she creates an entire foundation. Maybe there's already all this stuff in the works. But this is a true example of someone that is self-sacrificing for the greater good. I mean, I know that there's been a lot of discussion about statues, about monuments in this country. If there's anybody that's deserving of a statue of recognition for something that they've done to better the society, it is freaking Maya Moore at this point. So I expect a statue in Minneapolis. I expect a statue in Connecticut. Everywhere that she has played, she needs to be on the forefront, she needs to be one of those athletes in that town that you associated with, because she is a walking example of the best of us right now.
What a champion.
An absolute hero, Dasko. And I don't want to say there's a heroic type of thing we're going to get into next on the other side of the break for our conversation. It's kind of an everyday type of whoopsies. But Dasko and I will get into the weirdest ways that we've injured ourselves on the other side of the break, right here on the Playmakers on CBS Sports Radio 1140.
You found the Playmakers on CBS Sports Radio 1140.
Final few minutes of the Playmakers here for the week. We'll be out tomorrow in observance of the Independence holiday. I hope everybody stays safe, because I know that this weekend definitely comes with an added risk of owies, and especially with the Rona around, with everything else, with fireworks. We all got to make sure we're minding our P's P's and Q's, which includes wearing your masks when you're in public, please, for the love of the Lord. But sometimes we just end up getting owies for no reason, Dasko, and that's kind of what happened to Cubs left-hander Jose Quintana, who had to undergo a microscopic surgery on his left thumb earlier this morning after suffering a laceration on it while washing dishes in his home in Miami last Saturday. They identified a lacerated digital sensory nerve in Quintana's left thumb, so that was surgically repaired. He had 5 stitches. He's going to be back in a couple of weeks, or at least throwing. But I wanted to ask you, Dasko, because we've all had moments where just like, how did I injure myself? How did we get here? What happened? What was going through my mind? What is the weirdest way that you've ever injured yourself, Dasko?
Okay, so I had friends that were getting drunk at the Cosmopolitan, and it was raining out, and I parked at Planet Hollywood. And so I go through Planet Hollywood, and they have double doors, you know, to get out.
Sure.
And I went through the first set of doors, and I slipped because it was wet, and smashed my nose for my 7th broken nose right into the glass.
Oh, my Lanta.
That was up there. And my friends were drunk, and they were like, stop kidding around. I just broke my nose. No. Hey, come over here. Come on. So-and-so's here.
Yes.
You got to hang out. Like, no, you don't understand.
Look at my septum.
Nose looks like a...
It's deviated.
My nose looks like a pancake. It was flat.
Yeah, I can't breathe.
I'm sorry, but my nose just gets in the way. It's been doing that for years.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I slipped and smashed head first. It looked like a cartoon.
Yeah.
You know, right into the glass. I couldn't stop myself.
So did your buddies see this happen, or did they only see the after effects?
No, I went home. I mean, it was just a mess.
I mean, like, did this happen in front of them, though? Were they watching?
No. I was across the street, and I was going to meet them.
Because my friends would give me hell.
They didn't believe me. They didn't believe me because under the influence of alcohol, people just have their own mindset.
Yes.
Say.
Different type of record player playing in the head when the booze is involved. And I've eaten it quite a few times like that, Dasko, not enough where I've broken my nose per se, but I've definitely put myself in situations where, of course, I'm going to get injured. What was I even thinking? And one of the first memories that pops into my mind when I was really young in Minnesota, a lot of us have cabins. We go up north. That's what Minnesota does. Everybody in the weekends, they migrate up north to go fishing, to do all the stuff in the lakes, to explore. And I remember because at this cabin that my grandmother owns and still owns to this day, no running water, barely electricity. There's an outhouse. It's truly roughing it. And there's a campfire outside because it's a cabin. That's where we roast the marshmallows. And I remember thinking to myself with one of those hot dog pokers or the cookers that you have for outdoors, the prongs. And I remember just looking over my feet and just thinking, let's stab the ground with this. And just being like, stab, 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 stab. And guess what happened, Dasko? I hit my foot. I hit my foot. And I didn't go through it, thankfully. But I definitely, there are still scars there. And even then, I couldn't have been older than 8. I knew, I was just like, what are you doing, Lindsay? What were we thinking? Of course this was going to happen. Or I had gymnastics class one time and I ran and you had little pieces of carpet that you have the kids sit on. This is your piece of carpet. That's where you return to. It helps keep order. I remember I ran towards it and I slipped and I actually got that same foot stuck under a door, like under it. Again, where was the foresight here? Where was the thinking at this current point in time? We had nothing but regret.
Your foot gets in the way like my nose gets in the way.
Exactly.
That's for sure.
On the way to my mouth.
What about some of these other athletes? Like Ioannis Cespedes, remember? The ankle injury, the result of a violent interaction with a wild boar. That's why he missed last season.
That's right.
Aaron Boone. Aaron Boone tore his ACL playing basketball during the offseason, and the Yankees had to cut, you know, his contract short.
Yeah, Eric Johnson, who's a defenseman on the Colorado Avalanche but was a number one overall pick for the St. Louis Blues years ago, was kind of dinking around on a golf cart, got his foot run over and got caught, and he ended up tearing up his ACL and doing all of that. Or you have players punching doors, or I think Kevin Love said he was doing some knuckle push-ups one time and ended up with a broken hand. I'm pretty sure that it actually met a door with some force, but the knuckle push-up story sounded a lot better. And
Milton Bradley, you know, he played for the Padres and he got in an argument with the umpire. Remember, and Bud Black came out, he holds him back and Bradley tears an MCL, I think.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, there's doing dumb things, and then there's doing things that you would do every day, and then all of a sudden getting injured, and that's kind of what happened to Jose Quintana when he was obviously washing the dishes and probably had it full of water, had the bubbles on top and the suds, and reached down, and that's not a good strategy when you have sharp objects involved. Keep those separate, keep those in the cup, but nonetheless, you know, sometimes it just happens. It gets away from you, and then all of a sudden you're like, I need to have a better story
than this. Yeah, you're just being klutzy at that point.
Yeah,
typically.
Or just completely dumb like I was. Just, this hot dog poker, let's just poke the ground around our feet and see what happens. Why? What could possibly go wrong? But I'm glad to hear that Quintana is going to be able to get back to throwing, and especially with those nerves. I know that those are very important for all of us, but especially in pitching arms. Isn't that kind of what happens in Tommy John surgery? Obviously, that's in the elbow, but isn't most of the recovery is retraining those nerves, retraining that area of your body because it's not firing from your elbow down, right?
Yeah, I think a lot of that is, for sure. That's just a mishap. And we got Antonio Brown last year. I was just thinking about that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God.
What a therapy
How quickly
fee.
We have forgotten.
Why could we forget that?
Right?
How did we forget?
His feet, right? Because he was doing
cryotherapy.
The cryotherapy. Have you done cryotherapy before, Dasko?
No.
Would you ever?
He almost, not now.
Why not?
He almost froze his feet off.
Well, he didn't wear. I know, but because he didn't wear slippers, you got to wear protective stuff on your extremities, and that's why there was a problem. But you would never do it today.
No,
I think we should start a new show called "Doing Stuff with Dasko," where we just do random things, like you and I go across this great city, this great valley, and just do.
I always get hurt.
Yeah, well, if you're gonna eat it on the strip and then break your nose, I mean, we're gonna have to get a better insurance policy. We're gonna have to plan for this.
Yeah.
Seven times.
Yeah, seven times.
Well, how did that get started, even? Like, did you just get punched in the face by the Sibs back in the day, or what?
No, not the Sibs. We got in a lot of fights when we were kids and stuff like that. And then I got headbutted playing basketball.
Sure.
An intentional headbutt in my nose because I was cramming the guy from behind, and he thought that he would headbutt me. So,
oh, well, that's not very nice. But it's
I came back and hit the winning shot.
Well,
my nose was as flat as a pancake.
That's the best revenge there is, isn't there? You're like, I'm bleeding, but as I'm bleeding and in pain, I win.
Out of here.
Get out of here.
Just go.
Yeah, absolutely. When somebody intentionally hurts you, there's no time for that stuff. That's completely negative, and that is not the direction we need to go, at least when we end our show, because we like to send you all out with some good vibes and some positivity, especially going into the long weekend here. So we do that with our cheers segment, where we hoist our metaphorical tall ones or small ones or litten or bitten to something, somewhere, or someone that is good and bright. So who are you highlighting today for positivity, Dasky?
Ben Ramirez from San Francisco. He has a sign outside his window offering free coffee to neighbors every morning during the pandemic. I wish my neighbors, they don't even wave at me. But he said, you know, if they don't want a coffee, they come by, they stop by in the chat. It's him and his wife. A lot of people in his area are doctors, nurses, and postal workers. He said they're out there every day risking their lives. They deserve to see him and his wife first thing in the morning to have a little chitter chatter. He sits by the kitchen window, 8 a.m. to noon, 7 days a week.
Wow.
And his wife, in fact, even moved her meetings to later in the day, in the afternoon, so that she could be there with her husband. And it's a neighborhood called North Beach, if you're familiar with that area.
Mm.
And he says that he makes around 10 to 15 cups of coffee per day.
Wow.
Ben Ramirez.
It's the little things, isn't it, Dasko? The little gestures.
I absolutely love it.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. I wish you were my neighbor.
Yeah, right. Well, Dasko, you got to wave at your neighbors for them to wave back at you. Maybe we can work on
some of those.
They
don't even know who I am. They haven't seen me in
15
years.
You're the mayor of Las Vegas. That's impossible, Dasko. That's why we need to go out and make some more friends.
Are you our neighbor?
Yeah.
We've never seen you.
Are you my mother? Dasko, good stuff. Cheers to him and all the great small gestures that he's doing to just make a few individuals' days a little bit brighter. But we all can use the help we can get. I'm cheersing, in addition to Maya Moore and her heroic story and and her activism that still continues today. I'm going to go out on a limb here and cheers a member of the Philadelphia Flyers. I'm not a huge fan of the Flyers organization, mostly because Gritty's great, but the nameplates on the back when it's an orange jersey and then the white nameplate, that drives me nuts. It just drives me nuts. I don't know why, but we know that Oscar Lindblom, who is a forward in the Philadelphia Flyers organization, a very important player in the Philadelphia Flyers organization, completed his treatments for a rare form of bone cancer earlier today. There's a video, a few videos on the Philadelphia Flyers social media channel, so if you want to see that, you can check that out there. But the 23-year-old ran a ceremonial bell at Abrahamson Cancer Center at the Hospital of the University of Pennsylvania in Philadelphia to signify the end of his treatments for Ewing sarcoma. Lindblom said, "I can't explain how I feel right now. It feels like having my birthday, Christmas, and all those holidays at the same time. It feels awesome to be done, and I can't wait to get back to normal life and feel like I'm living." Oscar was diagnosed, and it was announced that he was diagnosed with that rare form of Ewing sarcoma on December 13th, Dasko, not that long ago. And although he won't be joining the Philadelphia Flyers at all this season, which obviously is going to get underway here in just a couple of weeks, he has skated and worked out for it with his teammates most recently on June 23rd. But he said that he received so much support during his fight against cancer. There is a campaign that the Flyers organization started, and that really caught on across the NHL called Biscuit Teas, which is a company that's co-owned by Kim Parent, who is the daughter of Flyers legend Bernie Parent. They sold Oscar Strong shirts, and with more than $200,000 in sales being donated to Hockey Fights Cancer, those shirts can still be purchased at BiscuitTeas.com. But, you know, you had a lot of big names stepping up to support Oscar, including Mika Zibanejad from your Rangers, the Anze Kopitar from the Kings, Wayne Simmonds of the Sabres. And just cheers to him and that fight. Nobody, that's a tough thing for anybody who has cancer to deal with. But, you know, cheers to you. Hopefully we see him back on the ice. But we'll be back next week. Dasko, thank you as always. Thanks to Trent. Thanks to Paul. And thanks to you all. Till we see you guys again, be well, stay safe, and wear your damn masks. Happy 4th. Bye.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.